Well, good morning. If you're a visitor here, I'm a substitute. Our pastor is in Colorado leading a mission trip. My name's Jimmy Wells, if you don't know me. I've been here for a couple or 3 years now. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come here together to worship and to learn, just guide us in our understanding of your will and the way we should go. Be with us in the time ahead, in Christ's name. Amen. I want to talk about a word that is found from one end of the Bible to the other. It's called faith. Living by faith. How do we do that? What does it mean? Everybody lives by faith. Every human being lives by faith at some level. If you drove here today, I think everybody probably did or rode with somebody, you got faith that all those other people on the road know the traffic laws and pretty much stand by them. We trust that other people are going to do what they should do. But guess what? They don't always. I drove a motorcycle back and forth to work for a couple of years. And one day, one of my fellow sharers with the road violated my faith. He made a left turn right in front of me. And I became an Evel Knievel practitioner. The last thing I remember is I was flying through the air and looking down at the hood of a red Ford Ranger. He just turned right in front of me, made a left turn against traffic. Did I lose my faith? Well, I lost my faith in riding motorcycles in traffic. I quit that. But as I drive back and forth, I trust those people on Interstate 20 to behave at least reasonably. And a couple of weeks ago, one of them doing about 90 cut in front of me to get around somebody that's only doing 85. It was close, but he and I were in good enough relationship, nothing bad happened. Well, that's one kind of faith. You just got to trust your fellow man in everyday life to do what you expect. Sometimes they will and sometimes they won't. But everybody has to have a level of faith in their other drivers or doctors. You go to the doctor, you expect him to do something to help you, not hurt you. And most of the time they will, but sometimes it turns out bad. When you go to the grocery store, you expect the food you get to be edible and to be good for you. We're finding out some of it's not so good for us, but we have faith in the system of the world around us. That's one kind of faith. There's a different kind of faith that we talk about in the Bible. And it's about believing in the Word of God and believing in Christ and the Holy Spirit. The difference between a Christian believer and an unsaved person is not that one has faith and the other don't. They both have faith. The difference is the object of that faith. Our faith is only as good as the object. Christian believer puts his faith in Jesus Christ and bases that faith on the Word of God. There's a editor of a American book, I'm not familiar with him, H.L. McKean. He defined faith as the illogical belief in the occurrence of the impossible. For him, the Bible was impossible. Mark Twain, in one of his characters, said that faith is believing what you know ain't so. One of the great musicals of the 20th century was Porgy and Bess, and there's a song in there, and the singer says, I believe that gospel whenever it's possible, but it ain't necessarily so. That's lip service faith. Yeah, you know, I kind of believe the Bible, but you know, there's parts of it I just don't believe. Well, that's not faith. That's faith in your own judgment. That is closer to superstition than faith. There's a guy named Anthony Flew, who was a premier atheist of the mid-20th century. He's from England. He's the son of a Methodist preacher. He grew up in church, but he went to college at Oxford in England, and he even went to meetings of C.S. Lewis's Socratic Club. But he wasn't convinced of Lewis's argument that God exists. He claimed the proper philosophical approach was to disbelieve God. And the magazines in England said, oh, this atheist is out-talked C.S. Lewis, who was a great apologist for Christianity. The interesting thing is, Lewis started out as an atheist and became a Christian. This guy started out in a Christian home, the son of a minister, and became an atheist. He came over here and preached in college, taught college for 50 years, and he wrote a famous book called Why I Believe There Is No God. And a few years ago, he wrote another book. And the title page was the same, Why I Believe There Is No God, but he had crossed out God and put A in front of it. Why I Believe There Is A God. Took him 50 years to decide there's got to be a God. He said the existence of the natural world demonstrates there has to be an intelligent designer. There has to be a God that created this. Now, it's a shame that it took him 50 years to come to that, but he was always an intellectual student. I don't know if he died a Christian, but he died a believer in God. One of his final lines in his book was, convinced of God's existence by the complexity of the natural world. Book of Romans tells us there is no excuse. The world declares the creationist of God. If we go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 3, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God, so what that is seen was not made out of things that are visible. We understand that better now than ever because we've got these telescopes that look way out into space and these electron microscopes that look at the invisible world here. We know more about the natural world than any time in history, and yet we just know a little bit of what God has done to create this world. So, the world gives us faith, but what is faith? Faith is believing and understanding believing. If we go to verses 13 through 16 in Hebrews, it says, these all died in faith, talking about everyone from Abel, from Cain and Abel, the children of Adam and Eve, all the way down through Noah and all the judges and prophets of the Old Testament. Said these all died in faith, not having received the things that was promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For the people who spoke thus made it clear they're seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land which they had gone out of, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. I looked up a list of all the references to people of faith. And it covers a page. The Bible talks about faith from the very beginning to the very end. So, how come we don't get it? Faith is not a thing. Faith is not something you get in a bucket and it's half full or full. Faith is what you do, what you show by your action. We kind of look at faith as a noun. Say, God, give me more faith. Give me the faith to understand. But we really need to think about faith as a verb, something you do. You step out in faith. You trust that what God has said is true, and you live by it. There's the old expression. Preachers used it for years, but it still kind of works. I have faith that that chair will hold me if I sit down in it. But if I don't ever go sit down in it, do I really have faith, or I just have a mental assent? Multiply that by anything in your life. I have faith that God will get me through this challenge. And then you sit down and do nothing and wait for God to fix it. It's not the way faith works. Faith is where you step out and trust God. Abraham, the father of faith in the Bible, God told him, said, you need to go and move. And what I want you to do is just take off, bring your family and all your stuff and go. And I'll tell you when you got there. Do you ever feel like you could do that? Do you ever think, God wants me to do something. I don't think I can do that. Or do you think, that looks like something I ought to be doing. I think I'll try it. In James chapter 2, verse 14, says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Can that faith save him? Martin Luther didn't much like the book of James. He called it a right strawy epistle because he felt like James was telling people about a work salvation, but he missed the point. If you have faith in God, it shows up in your life and what you do. If you say you have faith, but it doesn't change your life, then I'm not sure you've got that kind of faith. Backing up to my introduction, you have faith that most people are going to obey the traffic laws and not run red lights or turn in front of you when they shouldn't. But you show that faith by getting in your car and going. But what if you said, oh, I was in a wreck. That guy turned in front of me. I don't think I got enough faith to go anywhere anymore. I'm just going to sit at home and let other people bring me things. You can almost do that today if you've got enough money. You can call DoorDash and Uber and Amazon, and they'll bring you stuff. But isn't it better to live life out there with a little trust than to just hide and be protected and surrounded by your everyday thing? I'm here safe in my house. I got faith that God's not going to let a tornado take it away from me or a fire. Usually that faith works, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes that tornado takes that house away. I had an uncle, he lived in a tornado zone, and tornadoes came right across his house twice. One of them took away half his barn. But he didn't move. He just trusted that that's life. I'll get through it because I trust God. I think about people who say they have faith, but they don't tell you what their faith is in. Different people say, oh, I'm a man of faith. I'm a person of faith. What is that faith in? Oh, my faith is in Buddhism. Okay, Buddhism is an agnostic philosophy. Buddhism doesn't believe there's a God. It's just the universe, the force flows through it, and you align yourself with the way that force is flowing. And when you die, you become something else. You just fall into this force. It's made up of a philosophy. It's not a religion. Christianity is made up of a living relationship with God. This book of Hebrews, starting at chapter 11, is one of my favorite areas. He goes on to say, verse 14, In chapter 11, he goes on to say, what more shall I say? Hebrews 11, verse 32. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Do you know all those people? Gideon's an interesting story. Gideon was hiding out from robbers that come around and stole their food. And God called him to overthrow these robbers, this tribe down the road that like to come in and steal all the, let them do all the work, and they'd come in and steal it. And God called him to do something, and he said, I'm not sure I'm hearing you right, God. Give me a sign. And he put the fleece out and said, if the ground's wet and the fleece is dry, I'll believe you. And the next day it was. And he said, well, I'm still not convinced, God. Let me put the fleece out and if the ground's wet and the fleece, if the fleece is wet and the ground's dry, then I'll believe you. Finally, he decided God was telling him to get off his comfort zone and get out there and do something. And he gathered up an army, and God said, no, you don't need an army. You just need a band. He took 3,000 men, cut it down to 300, and they went, and God's power gave them the battle. It wasn't their own. Barak and Samson, spoiled kid, only son, special from birth, spoiled rotten. I want that woman over there for my wife. Well, that's not good. She's from another place. And down the road, he ended up telling the secret of his strength and being betrayed and put in chains, and they hooked him to a grist mill in place of an ox and had him grinding grain, tied up and blind. But he killed more of the enemy by tearing down the temple than he ever did fighting other ways. He wasn't what we would call a good guy. He wasn't somebody that we would consider a hero, but still he trusted God to the very end. You don't have to be perfect. David, the king in the history of Israel and in the Bible. What he did for a living, most of his life, most of his young life, he was a mercenary. He had a band of soldiers, and he went around working for the enemy for money. The only thing he wouldn't do is go attack his own people. Wasn't like the guy that you would think, oh, he's pretty powerful, but he's not a very good guy. But God said, he's a man after my own heart. He trusted God, but to get God's promise, he had to do what he had to do for a few years until Saul died. Now, David could have killed Saul, but the people wanted Saul for a king, and God gave him that. And it turned out bad, just like the prophet Samuel said it would. But David wouldn't touch him, even though he had plenty of chances. And when Saul died, David took over. He took care of the heir to the throne, one of them. He was friends with Saul's son. That's what faith looks like. Faith looks like doing what you know God wants you to do without being perfect. Very few of these heroes of faith were perfect. Some of them weren't even very good a lot of their life. But they, when it came to the important things, they trusted God and followed God. The verse that quoted in the beginning at the music, Hebrews 12, "Therefore we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us run with endurance the race before us." What is that cloud of witnesses? Well, all these heroes of faith that's listed throughout the Bible, that God accepted their life, accepted their faith. They're up there saying, these people are doing faith in God like we did. Whether their life shows it or not all the time, when it comes down to it, they do faith. You don't have faith, you do faith. You step out and trust God to give you, to take you through whatever you've got to go through. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the certainty of things not seen. What does that mean? What in the world is this passage in Hebrew? The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. All these people in the Old Testament, that are examples of faith, it's what they did, not what they said. Faith wasn't something they had, it's something they did. You do faith. You step out. Galatians 3:12, boasting is excluded by the principle of faith. Matthew 23:23, he who comes to God must believe that he exists. On and on, pages and pages, verses all through the Bible that tell us faith is, there's some mental assent. I believe the Bible. I believe these stories. I believe the witnesses of these people. But faith is also practicing what you believe. I believe in what? I believe in people. I believe in science. Science isn't a thing you believe. It's a system for trying to understand the world. Sometimes it's right and sometimes it's wrong. When I was in high school, they told us the appendix inside your body doesn't have any use. They said it's a leftover thing from evolution when we needed that, but it serves no purpose now. Well, a few years ago, I read, oh, they've discovered what the appendix is for. It stores the bacteria that help your digestive system work. So if it all gets flushed out, there's seed bacteria to help you. Science figured out that they were wrong for 40 years. Science figures out a lot of things that they were wrong. But the Bible doesn't do that. The Bible shows us that when you take action, trusting God, that you're rewarded. And sometimes that reward doesn't look quite like a reward, but in the end, you find out living by faith is the only way to live. Well, what are you going to do with that? I don't know. God told me to talk about faith, and it's on almost every page of the Bible, starting with Cain and Abel. Abel had greater faith in following God than Cain did, and it goes all the way down to what we're looking at in the not too distant future, the book of Revelation, when the people who believe in God stand firm in the face of whatever comes. I hope that you live your faith, you practice your faith, you just don't talk about it. I could go on for weeks. I have preached through the book of Hebrews, and it took me months to go back in every one of those examples, go back and look at them in the book of Judges. But hopefully I've got you to think a little bit about how faith really works in your life. I know many of you live by faith. But if you don't think you have faith, you do. It's just what you put your faith in. If you put your faith in yourself, it's not going to work. If you put your faith in other people, you're going to be disappointed. But if you put your faith in God, it will turn out good in the end, no matter how it looks in the middle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we don't understand how faith works. We just know that when we trust you and practice trusting you, that we live in faith. Help us to live in faith in all that we do. Help us to understand how to trust you more. Be with us in the week ahead, in Christ's name. Amen.